Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, welcome back to the show. Delighted that you are with us on Saturday. Hurricanes basketball against Mount St. Mary's. 2 o'clock tip-off at the Wasco Center. Joining us now, University of Miami head coach Jim Larrañaga. Coach L, great to have you on the show. We're going to embark on the show here. We'll start more in January, but nice way here to wrap up our non-conference season. And welcome back to the show. How are you doing tonight?
Hi, Joe. I'm fine. And I want to wish everybody a happy holiday season. Merry Christmas and a happy new year. We have this one non-conference game before we head into the Christmas holidays, and then we don't play again, Joe, until January 1st when we start conference play.
Right, against Boston College. Okay, hit a bit of a road bump here at the beginning of the year. Shot the ball really well the other day against Presbyterian in a 94-75 victory. Shot for a high percentage, record-breaking percentage. Did you solve any issues on Saturday? What did you think about your victory on Saturday?
No, we have the same issue we've had since the start of the season. That's defense and rebounding. We've improved our rebounding a little bit, and one of the reasons you can see the improvement is our guards, who really have not shown the competency to rebound. We ended up with 13 rebounds from our guards. Jalil Bethia, he had three. Divine Ugochukwu, he had six. He's a point guard, and he had six rebounds. A.J. Stant-McCray had two, and Jalen Blackman had two. So that's the whole key, Joe, to get a total team effort. And I wish we could do that defensively. We're right now ranked 23rd in the country in offensive efficiency. And you would never know that watching us play, because we give up so many points and second chance points. And the defense, as much as we worked on it and try to improve it, it's been very, very challenging and frustrating for both the coaches and the players.
Mm-hmm. Is that why you have to continually to analyze your rotation, trying to figure out who your best defensive team is?
Exactly. Almost any team we put out there that will share the ball will be able to score. Sometimes we dribble way too much because guys think of themselves as really good one-on-one players. Whereas as an offensive coach, you want to think your team is one of just share the ball. Move the ball till you get a good shot. But But our problem is at the defensive end of the floor, where, quite honestly, we just don't have great individual defenders. We see it every day in practice. You know, it's not like football where you have an offensive team and a defensive team. Guys have to be able to play both ends. They got to be able to play offense, which we're doing pretty well, but you got to be able to play defense. And defense is first of all, you have to have speed, quickness, and jumping ability. You got to have enough athletic ability. You have to have enough size. And then you got to work your tail off. And the other day, our guards did. They came up with 13 rebounds when in previous games they had been getting 4 or 5. So they more than doubled their output, and the result was, you know, a 19-point win.
Yeah, I guess, you know, if I was to look back, the Elite Eight team you had was such a good defensive team that it just always seemed to create a turnover or get their fingers on a ball or a deflection, created some kind of havoc by badgering the opponent, and that element most likely, I guess, right now is missing, right?
Yeah, and even it was missing back in the run to the Elite Eight before we were able to get our lineup in place and make some adjustments. Joe, we played in that ESPN event in the Elite Eight year and lost by 32 points to Alabama. Our defense was so bad. but we learned a lot from that tournament and the shortcomings we had. We were able to work on it, and all of a sudden, by mid-January, our defense had improved dramatically, and by the end of the season, we were a lockdown defensive team. Unfortunately, so far, we just really haven't been able to do it. I'm looking forward to the day we get Kyrie Huey back, because Kyrie Huey is a 6'9", athletic, big man, who can defend and rebound. Now, he's not a great defender on the perimeter. I'm not saying that. But he can defend post players, and he can, again, get defensive rebounds. And the way you play defense is you got to make them miss and then get the rebound. And we were not able to get the defensive rebound. So against one of our opponents, Charleston Southern, they got 22 points off of their missed shots. And that's really unheard of.
Yeah. You had three games against three high-level opponents, Clemson, Arkansas, Tennessee. You were in all three of those games. Arkansas game came down to the final, I don't know, minute or so. So did Clemson for the most part. Were there any positives in that game, in those games that you took out of those games? And winning those games, has it become a matter of, I don't know. I want to say mental toughness, but maybe it's more mental confidence.
Yeah, I think both apply. I think mental toughness is first, and then that you develop your mental confidence from that. In those three games, Joe, and this is what we talk to our players about defense, every team we play has some strengths and has some weaknesses. All right? You got to first, as a staff, my coaching staff, identify their strengths. And then share that information with the players. So, for example, the team we just played, Presbyterian, we told the players, look it, this is a team that shoots very high percentage. They were 30th in the country in three-point percentage. That's very, very good. But they don't shoot a ton of threes. So while you have to defend the three very, very well, although shoot lights out, you really have to guard the two because most of their points come from two-point range. Against Arkansas, a very good example was this. We defended them very well in the second half. We actually got the lead and were in position to win. But they have a player, a 7'2 center, who normally a big guy's around the basket. This guy, Z, stepped out and made three threes in the second half, two of them right in the last 3 minutes.
Right.
And that is very difficult for our team to defend, a 7'2 guy that can shoot over our defense and make three-pointers. All right? And against Arkansas, we defended the three very well for 36 minutes. But once Z started making them, that opened up the other guys, and it kind of like snowballed, where John L. Davis then started making threes. And then finally, Boogie Flan made a big three. So we gave up five threes when we had been defending the three all game long. But in the last 3 to 4 minutes, Arkansas was able to step up and make the big offensive play. And we were not able to step up and make the big defensive stop.
Yeah. By the way, Lynn Kidd's birthday today, so happy birthday to Lynn Kidd. He's been really good the last two games with his offensive efficiency. Are you playing through him more? Is that something that you're developing?
Yeah, we've worked on it really, really hard. The biggest thing, Joe, what we've found is some teams double-team him.
Yeah.
The other day when they did, he threw the ball out and had six assists, a career high. Against Arkansas, when they left him one-on-one, he scored. But when they doubled him, it made it very, very difficult because they were so much bigger. And not a double team by smaller 6'7", 6'8", guys, but with a 7'2", and a 6'9", very big and athletic guys. So we're working on that, hoping we're expecting to see it during the ACC regular season. So hopefully Lynn will just keep getting better and better at it.
I was going to say, is his passing game getting better? Because he made some passes the last couple of games with something on, some pretty good velocity, hitting guys kind of right in a good spot so they could handle the ball and get a shot off.
Yeah, that's the frustrating thing about what we've seen. In the ESPN event in Charleston, those teams started to double-team Lynn, which really limited his scoring. And he was making beautiful passes back out. And the strength of our team is when he does that, we can really shoot the three. But not against the opponents in Charleston. Why? Was the shot difficult? No. Was the shooter wide open? Yes. Why did he miss? You know, sometimes even the best shooters miss shots. Nobody shoots over 50% from three anyway. So you're going to miss at least half your shots. And unfortunately, while we were missing those shots early in those games, the opponent was getting a chance to score because our defense just wasn't strong enough.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
How difficult is this? Has this been difficult for you personally because you had to go through this seven-game stretch? On one hand, I know it has to be excruciating. On the other hand, if anybody loves going to the laboratory to figure it out, it's probably you. But this whole process of trying to put a new team together and then find the right combination how have you been able to analyze and handle that?
Well, personally, it's painful.
Yeah.
Not just for me, but for everybody, my coaches, my players, their families, their friends, our fans, our season ticket holders, our alumni. Nobody likes losing. You know, one of my favorite quotes is from Vince Lombardi. Do you know the quote, Joe?
Losing.
No, you started wrong.
Yeah.
Winning isn't everything. It's the only thing.
Right.
And so what I'm saying is when we're practicing to play to win. And then when you don't execute the plan, and worse yet, you execute offensively, but you don't do it defensively, it's frustrating. And again, this is not like football where you have an offensive team and a defensive team. These are the same guys. We got to play at both ends of the court. And the size of the athlete is important, and it starts with our guards. It goes back to when you ask me about the Elite Eight or the Final Four team. It starts with, like, Charlie Moore was a great point guard at both ends of the court. And then at the Final Four year, Nigel, who was a solid defender, he had Isaiah Wong next to him, who was very, very good. The ACC Player of the Year. He didn't win that just for his offense. He was also a very tough, hard-nosed defender. So it starts with your guards, and that's our biggest weakness. And when your guards are constantly needing help by your bigs, then the big guys end up scoring because they're not being guarded. Their man is having to go over and help. So the one thing I keep saying, Joe, is we're getting better. It doesn't show statistically yet, but I can see it in practice. It's just not consistently enough to make a huge difference yet.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know this, probably in your wildest dreams, not only this year, but almost any year, you didn't think about starting a freshman point guard, but that's what you had to do the other day. Devine started for you. He played 25 minutes. How did he do?
Well, he did really well in the three areas we needed him. The first, his on-the-ball defense. He guarded the best player on the other team and did a very respectable job. He got 6 rebounds, which is incredible for a point guard, a freshman point guard. The last time we had a freshman point guard do that, that was Bruce Brown, who's now playing in the NBA because of that ability. And then the third thing is he had to run the team. That's not easy for a freshman in his first starting role. And he played 25 minutes, only took one shot, and he made it. So he went 1-for-1 from the field, defended well, got 6 rebounds, distributed the ball, got everybody involved, and as a result, we set the school record for field goal percentage for a game. So he did a very good job. Now, the key for him is not to think, okay, now I've proven myself, now I don't have to play as hard. Because he was highly motivated to play and give a great effort. I mean, that's nice for one game, but the whole key to basketball is being consistent and being consistent at both ends of the court. So we'll see how he does on Saturday against Mount St. Mary's.
I know you wanted to pair him with Nigel, but Nigel's injured, so I guess that pairing all depends on Nigel's health in the future, right?
Yeah, so here's the thing. We started for the first time A.J. Stant McCray and Matthew Cleveland together. And what that did is it gave us a little bit more size at the 1-2-3. So Devine is 6'3", A.J.'s about 6'4" or 6'5", and Matt's about 6'5", 6'6". So that's reasonable good size for the ACC. It's not big, but it's doable. Yeah. Before that, like when we started the season, we had Nigel and Jalen in the backcourt, and they're both about 6 feet tall. So size was a factor defensively. Rebounding was a factor defensively. So now we got a little bigger backcourt, and hopefully they'll continue to rebound. And if they do, then I think we'll get better results defensively and rebounding. And then hopefully that will allow Lynn Kidd and Brandon Johnson to do what they do. And did you see their stats from this past weekend?
Yeah, Brandon was 9-for-11 and Lynn was 8-for-9. So that's pretty good.
When your 4 and 5 men are that efficient, and you know most of Lynn's passes that lead to baskets come from Brandon.
You're right.
Brandon throws it to Lynn 10 times a game. All right, and so that's a good combination at the 4-5. And if we get Kyrie Huey back, who's 6'9 and can also score inside, that would be a huge help. Because then you'd have a starting five man, a starting four man, and a backup. Now we're using Paul Jobet as this backup 4-5 when he's actually a three man.
Right.
So we're having to make some serious adjustments.
Well, one of the adjustments you also made, and Jalen Blackman, I know he's been working with him on his defense, but when he came in the game the other day, and he goes 3-for-4 from three-point range. I might be wrong. I know at least two. I don't know if it was all three. But he's capable of these quick three-pointers and giving you separation in a game. Can he be? Can his role be as a sniper for you?
Well, I sure hope so. But the thing that we practiced today at 1 o'clock, we had a team meeting beforehand, and we showed some video. And the first video clip that we showed was, you know, former Miami great Jack McClinton was doing the color commentary.
Right.
For TV. All right. So after the game, I came home and watched the game. And I'm listening to Jack McClinton's comments, and they were very much on target. With 10 minutes to go in the first half, Jalen makes a nice defensive effort, and Jack McClinton says something so, so important, so prophetic. Man, Jalen Blackman is so much more active defensively than I've seen him all season long. And it was true.
Yeah.
We called Jalen into a meeting, showed him video of his efforts defensively and how they could be improved. And Jalen took it to heart, went out and did exactly what we asked him to do. And he got good results, and we got good results.
Yeah, and so, when he gets to his spot and hits those threes, he can open up a game for you in a hurry.
Well, that's the thing about – do you see how many guys we played against Presbyterian, Joe?
Eight
guys, yeah. And one of them only played 6 minutes.
Right.
What we did is we reduced our rotation, giving more minutes to the guys who've earned it, And less minutes, partially Nigel was out hurt, Isaiah Johnson-Rigo out sick, and Austin Schwartz, we chose not to play him that night. So hopefully that combination of players, those eight guys, will come ready to play, and they'll get well-deserved minutes. If they show up and are lackadaisical or don't defend, don't rebound, like has been our problem, then hopefully someone on the bench can come in and help us.
I want to get to Mount St. Mary's in a moment. How is Jahlil Bethia coming along for you?
Well, the one thing about Jahlil is his effort, especially at the defensive end of the floor, has really improved. Now, the execution is still a work in progress. I wish the heck we could help him figure out how to play individual defense, man-to-man, on your man, but also then team defense where you're able to help your teammates when the time is appropriate. And Jahlil is trying. He's learning. When he came out of the game the other day, DJ Irving and Cody Kimball went over to him to talk with him, and he said, oh, I played that defense wrong. I should have switched on to the cutter. And, you know, 2 weeks ago, he wouldn't have known that he was supposed to switch on to the cutter. So he is improving. He's learning. But it's obviously a little slower than we would all like, mm-hmm. because everybody sees his potential. But right now, it's potential. It's not talent that he's realizing that he can execute the game plan. We're working with him both on his defense, his rebounding, and his offense. And if he can improve his defense and rebounding, that'll earn him a lot of playing time that he can take advantage of on offense.
I wanted to get your thoughts, big picture thoughts, ACC is struggling a little bit this year. I saw this number today, and it was pretty eye-popping. And as I look at Carolina's behind Florida by 15, the ACC against non-conference teams this season is 4-24. 4-24 against non-conference ranked opponents, I should say. Still, 4-24 against non-conference ranked opponents. Do you think that has to do with the transient style of the league now?
Yeah, I think that college basketball has changed dramatically because of the portal and because of NIL, and also because of coaches' own philosophies and principles. You just look at what Tony Bennett did. He got tired of it. He said, I don't like all these transfers, and I don't like paying kids this kind of money. And then the next thing is, Joe, not only are the kids getting money, but they expect, because of the money, that, hey, I must be a great player because I'm getting all this big-time money. I expect to play a lot and get a lot of shots. And so what permeates college basketball right now is a little bit of selfishness and not fitting in to the team concept. It's frustrating college coaches. Some teams have spent a fortune on NIL and have a ton of talent, and really the talent is winning. The teams that have invested the most amount of money are seeing some success, but I don't know how long that'll last, because the teams that get to the big dance, it's not going to be just about talent. It's going to be about a team that sticks together through thick and thin.
Mount St. Mary's comes in. This is kind of a, I don't know, it's not a legendary program, but it's been a program. Been around for a long time. Had Jim Phelan as the coach, right, for a long time. They're 6-4, 1-1 conference play, four players in double figures. They have, it's a legacy program that's coming in to wrap up your non-conference season. Well, what are the challenges on Saturday?
Yeah, I think they're going to be one of the better teams in their league. They have a new head coach because Jim Phelan stepped down a few years back. The new coach that replaced him left after a couple of years, went to Holy Cross. They now have a new head coach, comes from, he was an assistant at Greensboro. He's running the same offense that Greensboro did. We played Greensboro last year, so we're familiar with it. But, Joe, I hate to say this, and I hope the coaches from Mount St. Mary are not listening to this, but we had a very hard time guarding Greensboro with that offense. We had a very hard time guarding our scout team today with running that offense. So, so much has to do with defense and rebounding. And I want to go home feeling good about our team at Christmas time, win two in a row, and get back thinking positively and with some confidence so we can go into the conference race at least on a positive note.
Right, yeah, because after this game, I guess you'll give the players a little bit of time off for the holiday, but you'll have some extra days preparing for this marathon coming up, the ACC with 19 games to go. And yeah, this year that includes a trip to the West Coast.
Yeah, Joe, if you had told me before the season that at this moment in time we'd be 7-4 in non-conference or this November-December schedule, I would have been disappointed in 7-4.
Yeah.
As a head coach, and looking at our program and what my expectation is, 7-4 would not have been satisfactory. Now we're 4-7. So I'm beside myself. I know what it takes for us to win, and my staff knows. And we are trying to get our players to understand. Some of the young guys, okay, I understand that. You got a lot to learn. But some of the older guys should really be leading us to victory, where they take responsibility and are accountable to the coaches, to their teammates, and quite frankly, to the university. Now, all these guys are pros. They're getting paid. You know, 3 years ago, Our Elite Eight team, not a person got any NIL money. Not a one. But they played hard and played to win. And we need to get back to that. And it's up to my staff to get the most out of this team. And hopefully the team recognizes. We've got a bunch of good kids. They're really nice kids. I think the problem is, Joe, they're too nice. Yeah. They're too nice. Once you get on the court, you got to be a competitor. You got to be diving for loose balls and coming up with the long rebounds and chasing the guys down in fast breaks. Oh, we'll see, though. I'm looking forward to Saturday, hoping to take another step forward.
I was going to say the last thing. I wonder if they were a bit stunned because as I watched your team in the summer and in the fall, and you have expressed also, scoring was coming easy to your team, and scoring came easy in the first three games. And then when we went to Charleston, Drake kind of threw a monkey wrench into that. And I thought there was a point in that game, I think it was late in the second half, you might have been down a couple of points and had the ball moving up the floor, and then the pass was out of bounds, which thwarted the comeback chance. And I just wonder from that point on how much their confidence was shaken.
Well, you know, when you talk about confidence, you really got to talk about it individually. You know, because one player can be confident and the guy he's playing with not confident, and that impacts both of them. So we've had many situations where a guy would miss a couple of shots early, and then the next time you threw it to him when he was wide open, he wouldn't shoot because he had questioned his own confidence and his own ability to make that shot. And you really don't want to do that while you're playing. Once you start playing, you got to believe, hey, if I shoot this shot, I'm going to make it. And if you miss it, you just move on to the next shot. So we had that happen, Joe, in Madison Square Garden. You weren't there with us, right? You were sick at home.
Right.
But we cut their 18-point lead down to 7, had the ball, and a chance to get a fast break layup. And we threw the ball right out of bounds.
Right.
And you say to yourself, how can a guy throw? Well, they're kids. They're young, inexperienced, and they rush. They make mistakes, not because they're not capable of throwing the right pass, but when you rush, we use the expression, the pass has to be on time and on target. It's got to hit your receiver in his hands where he can catch it and shoot it. And the pass was wild and just went out of bounds. So we got to get better at all those little things.
Starting on, we'll do it on Saturday at 2:00. I've done a lot of coaches shows in my life and a lot of shows with you, but you just put on a master class on perspective of where a team is, why it's struggling and how it gets better. And I hope our listeners enjoyed not only your insight, but this was deep insight into your team here tonight. And I greatly appreciate it. And thank you for your perspective.
Let me talk to our fans for just 1 second then, Joe, before I go. Fans is a shortened word for fanatics. And we have plenty of fans, people who are fanatical about Miami basketball and have been very supportive of me and my staff for the last 14 years. And as frustrated as my staff is and the players are, I'm sure all our fans are. And I understand that. And I don't blame them for being frustrated and angry. They can be angry with me. That's okay. But the one thing we won't do is stop trying. Our commitment is to try to be the best that we can be. Maybe that's not good enough, but I'll never stop trying to help our players. I've always said I'm a teacher first. I like teaching the game, being around the players. I love practice. I'm going to try to help these guys get better, and hopefully they'll be good students of the game and improve in the areas we need to improve.
All right, Coach. Thank you for joining us tonight. I'll see you on Saturday at your office for the 2 o'clock tip-off against Mount St. Mary's as we get ready to embark on, as you like to say, a marathon, final non-conference game. And we got 19 in the league. And if anybody can turn it around, it's going to be you.
Thanks, Joe. Merry Christmas.
Take care. All right. That's University of Miami head coach Jim Larrañaga. And all I can tell you is, wow, that was 37 minutes of a masterclass in coaching and where your team is and where you hope it can go and how it can get there. But it ain't all on one person. And I thought he was as honest. He's always honest, but that was a pretty special 37 minutes there with Coach L. When we come back, Hollywood will sit down with Brandon Johnson. We'll get his perspective as we continue on the show. But let me talk to you for a moment about the holidays and the hustle and the bustle of the holidays. And during the holidays, you want to have some luxury. You might be owed that luxury after a long year of working, and maybe it's time to reward yourself with some luxury and customer service and smooth driving. And the place to do that is Williamson Cadillac. You can go online to WilliamsonAutomotiveGroup.com and take a look at all the inventory. But I'm going to tell you that the inventory is coming in every single day. The CT4s, the CT5s, I'm driving the XT4, the XT5, the XT6, the all-electric Lyriq, all right now at Williamson Cadillac every single day. And what makes it special, what's going to make it special for you, is the customer service that you're going to get from Ed Williamson and his staff, and of course his lovely wife Carol. And they're well aware that this is the holidays, and during the holiday season we all want a little break. We all want make sure that it's going to be a little bit easier when we make that purchase. And let me tell you, we all know that purchasing a Cadillac, that's not little. That's a big deal in your life. That's a big decision. And they are going to be there every step of the way to make sure that it is a pleasant experience, because you are going to be treated like family at Williamson Cadillac. Easy to find Williamson Cadillac. If you want to get the most out of the South Florida lifestyle, I highly recommend Williamson Cadillac, located on US 1 at 104th Street, just south of the Palmetto. Williamson Cadillac, Williamson is Miami.